everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Bias Check-In.
Hi, everyone.
For this Am I the Asshole, we're keeping in-house. We're talking about Claudia leaving the simulation. Another TikTok song for y'all.
Master has given Dobby a sock.
What? I didn't...
Master has presented Dobby with clothes. Dobby is free.
And I definitely now have more empathy for the people on the subreddit anti-work, work reform, and all of your various factions, because I did get through the awkward, very utilitarian, very sterile, bad HR experience.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's given us plenty of fodder for this episode, so it served its function.
Thank you. I'm sorry, and I'll do thank you for doing that for us. Because you did it for the podcast, right? Like, that was the end goal? Sure.
Partially, honestly, the exit interview was done for the podcast. I did not want to do the exit interview, but I figured it might give us fun stuff to talk about. But content. Before I get ahead of myself, apologies to everyone anti-work. If this is the only kind of work experiences you've had, and this is your lived experience in trying to earn a living in our society, let's just see, I can see how it comes to being, how one may become a little bit prejudiced against certain roles, certain titles, or just straight up certain people.
So, do you want to go into it?
Yes.
You're a free elf now.
I am a free elf.
What does that look like?
First of all, no more night shift, which may not mean much if you've never worked evening shifts, but holy cow, if you are working evening shifts, thank you. I'm glad you're there so I don't have to be. It's taxing. But now I will be going full-time into organizational consulting, the actual IO part of my resume. So be ready to hear more about the so-called glitz and glamour of consulting and being constantly jet-lagged and paying a lot more attention to PowerPoints and reports than their recipients ever will. But also, we did sign NDAs and we do prioritize client confidentiality, so I'll probably add this to my spiel for the next episodes, but keep in mind, if you're listening and you think you know what situation or individuals we're referring to, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. We will mix and match our details to the point of being absolutely not recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
But they will all be true stories.
Indeed. We will just do a little slopping in there of...
A little slopping. If you're listening to this with headphones, I'm so sorry, but I'm also not.
But yes, if you think you know who we're talking about, no you don't. Text us, but no you don't.
And we will still not confirm it.
Exactly. We're just curious. Yes. But welcome to consulting life full time.
Yeah.
We've been expecting you. Here's your welcome basket.
Let's put it on the record that she's not actually handing me anything. She's just looking at me expectantly.
Where is your welcome basket?
Oh, I was responsible to do it. Okay. Again, glitz and glamour. So let's start with the theory. Okay. Because you will also get to hear throughout this episode how Susie has supported me in the quitting offboarding process.
Mm-hmm.
But Susie, get us started. Theoretically, if we're going by the book, how does one quit?
You make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go like theoretically or like your process and how you got there?
Let's go through like what should be the proper process first.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the extra stuff we added onto it for this specific instance. Like, how does an individual come to be separated?
From a company. Well, you make the decision, you write your 2 weeks notice, you have one-on-ones with your manager, with HR. You don't necessarily come to a consensus, but, like, you get everyone on the same page.
Mm-hmm. everyone is at least aware.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of HR things that I don't know that need to happen on the back end. Mm-hmm. Once again, IO is not HR, so I have no idea what that looks like.
And also, it's not your role as the employee. That is like the organization, the soon-to-be ex-employer's responsibility. Mm-hmm. So
you manage what you can. You, given the 2 weeks' notice, you give a heads up to your team. You wrap up things very nicely. If you're client-facing, you should normally do that and like tell your clients mm-hmm. that you will be separated from the organization and that they should be taken care of by someone else stepping in. I know other places you become part of the selection process, or like you at least give them like quote unquote your job analysis, your job description. It's like you should look for these things in the person who replaces me.
So a more intentional, a more involved exit interview almost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah, you have your exit interview and you now in the virtual world, you return your office things.
Equipment.
Equipment, computers, screens. Back in the day, you would get your little cardboard box, get all your plants and pictures and your favorite pen. And you say goodbye to the people.
Get the stapler and the post-its on your way out.
Exactly. Liquid paper if you don't have it at home. And
ooh, that is a last century reference. Liquid paper? Really? Yes. I'm the old one between the two of us? And you just think of lifting the liquid paper? Okay.
And yeah, that's about it.
That's that on that.
Did I miss anything?
No, I think you got it. Because again, we're not HR, so like, because I just went through the process, I know some of the steps that they had to take mm-hmm. in my case, but I'm not qualified to speak of like, oh yeah, this is something that will happen everywhere at all organizations.
Indeed has a, inside their career guide page, they have how to quit a job the right way,
mm-hmm.
created in 2021. December, so great resignation. People were legitimately Googling, how do I quit the right way?
I can see that for millennials just being like, I don't want to disappoint anyone. Which, if you're feeling attacked, trust me, I'm attacking myself by saying that.
But let me go through the list. Yeah. One, start by deciding whether it's the right time. So, check. Give at least 2 weeks' notice.
Almost check.
2 weeks' notice is the standard length of time to give an employer before you leave. However, if you sign an employment contract, make sure you're honoring any rules around the length of notice.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Three, write a letter of resignation, a statement that you're resigning, date of which your resignation is effective, why you're leaving, optional, thank you, optional, signature, check.
Mm-hmm.
Four, give feedback on why you're leaving. While you're not required to share your reasons for leaving, it can be helpful for your supervisor and other leadership personnel to understand.
This is where mm-hmm. we're getting in the are you feeling generous territory, but okay.
Mm-hmm. And one of their points is prepare what you'll say in the meeting beforehand so that you can give constructive feedback. Remember that the goal is to maintain positive relationships with former employers, so you'll want to be honest yet professional.
Yeah.
Even if your HR team doesn't schedule an exit interview, consider reaching out to a member of the team to discuss your feedback if you would like.
Mm-hmm.
Five, schedule a meeting with HR representative or supervisor. Instead of emailing your resignation to your boss or letting them find out about your departure from HR, consider scheduling a one-on-one meeting, depending on your relationship. But no matter how you inform your colleagues, be sure to write up, print, and sign official letters of resignation.
Yep.
Claudia's making faces.
Well, because I realized working from home, I technically never signed anything.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, it worked out nonetheless, but...
Six, wrap up and transition work. After you've informed your employer of the resignation, you likely have about 2 weeks left in your role before you officially leave. During this time, you'll want to complete standing projects with Work with your supervisor to determine who should take over. Document your day-to-day efforts, where you've saved important files, how to use various pieces of equipment, yada yada. This will ensure whoever replaces you will experience a smooth transition. So, like, transition documents.
Mm-hmm. This is the thing I realize I needed to do to make this process work. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, like, teaching someone how to drive, like, an older car. And be like, Look, it's got its quirks.
Exactly.
If you open that door, you gotta slam it. If you press this button, you gotta be sensitive. Like,
yeah. Millennials. Like, when Jacob gives Bella the keys to her new truck. And, mm-hmm. like, you have to, like, jiggle it to make it work. But it works.
So, yes.
And then 7, share gratitude for the opportunity. In some cases, a job may be more than just simply a method of earning money. Depending on how long you've been with the organization, you may have developed strong bonds with coworkers. Your experience from your current job likely helped you earn your new opportunity. So it's important to show your gratitude. And that's it. That's how they end the list.
I would say I agree with all the points. Because my disclaimer here is I just don't want to push toxic positivity onto someone. If you're leaving a toxic workplace,
leave. Run.
Yeah, force yourself to present face on something positive and, like, try to find something positive to say to HR.
Mm-hmm. No.
But if it is a friendly separation, mm-hmm. if it's, like, a good breakup, mm-hmm. by all means, do share the good, the constructive. Keeping in mind that, yes, if you want your exit interview or your feedback to have any impact, probably hearing a list of complaints without ideas on how to improve that, it's not exactly going to have the impact that you wish it had.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So this is the textbook. This is the checklist. These are the things that need to happen or that you need to do if you plan on leaving your organization.
Mm-hmm.
On the human side, there's that wonderful awkwardness and balance of, ideally, hopefully, if, like me, you are a recovering people pleaser,
mm-hmm.
the awkward balance of, like, interpersonal and transactional nature of work.
Mm-hmm.
On the interpersonal side, especially if you're leaving a team that you liked or that you at least, you know, got along with, could tolerate. You're not leaving because you want to get rid of a bad environment or a bad manager. There's the idea of, like, I do like you guys. I just don't like you enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally, it's not you, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is never an easy conversation to go through. And the transactional side of it is that ultimately your contract is not about being friendly to mm-hmm. your manager or... Yes, of course you're a team player, of course you're fitting in with the company culture, but, like,
mm-hmm.
you need to prioritize what your needs and your career needs are. And that's, I think, the downside a little bit of, in the US, having at-will employment mm-hmm. for employers is that, yes, on one side, you as my employer can decide to lock me out and send me home tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull a Steve Jobs and fire people before they get to the floor where their office is
mm-hmm.
in the elevator. But I can also just ghost you,
mm-hmm.
theoretically speaking. Not, I didn't do that, but theoretically speaking. That also limits the obligations that I have as your employee.
But coming back to it, finishing that list, how was writing your own resignation letter, Claudia?
You know it. You were there. It was terrifying.
I know, but the listeners don't.
Okay, fine. Well, it is terrifying, but as they tried ever so hard to tell me through my 22 grades of schooling, brevity is really the king.
Brevity? Yeah.
Yes. Again, as a recovering people pleaser, I felt in it like, I'm resigning, this is the date. I added when I started working there mm-hmm. because I had don't remember the source, but I found somewhere that recommended doing that.
Stating how long you've been with the company. How long
you worked there, yes.
Okay.
And I followed a basic format, but I wanted to explain, oh, because I've taken this new position with this new group, and it's offering this, and it fits my career better like that. And then the other half of this podcast has to tell me, Claudia, you're doing too much. And literally, you do not need to explain yourself.
Exactly.
Just, this is going to be my last day. If it is genuine, or you just don't... Honestly, also, if you want to save your energies and not have that confrontation, generic thankfulness formula, best regards.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Moist regards.
Deuces.
Goodbye.
Out. Mic drop. But yeah, it was very, very awkward. And the, again, strange, very strange part in having a remote job was that, and being on a different schedule than my manager, was that at the end of my shift, I just video called Susie, called Sam into the room, and click, click, sent. I was like, okay, I am... There's no going back now. Now I just need to try not to think about this until I check my email tomorrow. And that's that.
But yeah, that magic formula works well. And like we said, and like I told you, like, they just need the information that you're leaving. Yes. However pompous and pretty and all the things you want to make it, the important thing that they're getting from that letter is your last day.
Yes.
So... short or long, as long as you're including that.
That's that on that. The only other thing I will say, because I think this is best practices, I think this is well known, but you never know. Do not send a Word document. Send a PDF.
Yes. Do not let them make changes for you.
It still can be done on a PDF as well, if you're working somewhere particularly shysty, but it takes more effort. At least let them work for it.
Yes. But yeah, make it a PDF, go the whole nine yards if you want, and print it, sign it, scan it, send it again.
Or not. That's a whole lot of work. But make it a formal document, because it really, it doesn't require many formulas, it doesn't require much content. Even with how I speak and I write, I think my whole letter was five lines and signature. So do what you need to do. And keep in mind, it's okay if it's just, it's a notice. It's a notification.
Exactly.
It's okay if it fits in a tweet. But yeah, no, it's still a very strange feeling to send it and be like, and I just became a sitting duck.
But with that, you gave your 2 weeks notice. I think in Mexico, it's pretty standard to also give at least 2 weeks notice. But what about Italy?
So that was another fun part of the process. Because of the consulting tasks and role that I'm taking on full time instead, I actually didn't give a full 2 weeks. I gave 10 days. So close. Keep in mind, again, we do this as a courtesy. If you wanted to just quit and ghost, you can. There is no legal consequence that can be done. There will be some bridges burned, but up to your judgment. But when I was talking to my parents about it, I realized yet one more reason why I'm happy to work in the US. Because in Italy... as I've just been informed, you actually have to give a 3-month notice. So a whole quarter notice. Just a very long time to be a sitting duck in an employment place that you don't enjoy. And during those 3 months, the other thing was my manager at the job I left was very understanding. I maxed out my PTO during my 2 weeks. And that's a normal expectation of like, yeah, you know, you're a sitting duck, so you might as well take advantage of what vacation you have, rest before the next chapter, whatever.
Whatever.
Italians cannot use PTO or sick time during that quarter.
Or it gets pushed.
So let's say you turn in January 1st, you turn in your resignation, you know that April 1st you're out. January, February, and March, you will still be working. But you know, March, allergy, pollen, let's say you're sick 2 days. Congrats, you just pushed your last day down two
April
more days.
3rd.
Yep.
Okay.
Do make sure that you're not taking advantage of the company. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, if anyone ever wants to learn how to say exploitation in Italian. So yeah, I can't imagine going through that system at all.
Yeah.
I'm not one necessarily to advocate, you know, just ghost and don't give it 2 weeks and burn the bridges and don't look back. My anxiety and I definitely agree that that is not a sustainable course of action. But 3 months?
Yeah. That's a long time. But if we go back to what I said previously, like setting everything up so that the next person or the person that takes over for you is set up for success, then yeah, 3 months is a good amount of time to like make that transition. Go through the whole selection process, training, etc.
True. And I am also thinking like
critical incidents.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking in terms of roles that require a lot more responsibility than the role I had in that company did, that longer notice definitely makes more sense.
Yeah. 3 months, 2 days, 2 weeks.
Any extra time you end up using, you end up paying back to the company.
Instead of, well, you HR person, if they were going to have to pay you back your PTO.
But that's the difference in the, it feels like those old memes people circulated in like the 2010s about Russia. In, hear me out, I'm getting a skeptical look, but I promise I'm going somewhere. When they say like, oh, in the US, the company pays you back your unused PTO. In Europe, you pay your PTO to the company.
Yeah.
In more days worked.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I was hoping for more appreciation for my...
I don't remember those memes.
Meme history appreciation, but okay, fine.
I don't remember those memes. Sorry.
But no, it was so weird because, again, in the US, I think also to make life... It's more streamlined. I don't know. There's something that makes you want... Makes it more acceptable to just max out your PTO. So in my case... My actual last day.
As of time of recording,
I am technically still on the payroll, but I'm on PTO.
Yes. So your last day was today. You said goodbye to everyone yesterday.
Yes. Thank you.
And as a week of recording, it's been half of a week.
Yes. So, it's been fun. The other thing that it's been very fun in my process, and again, we know that when we talk about fun on this podcast, we're talking about IO fun, so bear with me. I'm not going to be offended.
Lower your expectations, everyone.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
But yes, like, so I ended up having conversations with my manager and my head of HR, and again, as I opened this episode... Holy cow, people, I understand why some of y'all hate HR after this week. If your experiences are like the one I had in the past week and a half.
I know.
It's okay.
Don't know if you want to go more into it, but after listening to your experience with your exit interview.
Yes, but I do want to put out a warning. So basically what happened in my case is that my old role... has a really low retention rate. And I went to contribute straight to that trend.
But that's not your fault.
Don't let your company make you feel bad about prioritizing your needs. I'm very lucky to be in the position where I could just identify what was happening and laugh about it. But in early career roles, if you're taking a chance by pursuing something different, Mm-hmm. Don't let your old employer make you second guess yourself.
Absolutely. Like, you're growing. That was the best part. When you talk to your manager, when you talk to HR, your communication to them was, I'm growing in my field of specialization. This is where I got my master's in this field. This is why I got my master's in this field. I'm growing. I'm so happy. And this person in particular went or made such an effort to make you feel bad for them having to do their job.
Yes. So, credit to my manager, my team manager. He was disappointed. He is frustrated by being understaffed.
Totally understandable.
Normal woos of being a manager. Mm-hmm. But he was very supportive. It was actually really nice because he does not understand what IO stands for or what it is. He didn't make a great effort to learn it during my tenure. He didn't really respond to my offers to employ it in the role and to job craft a little bit. But he was still warm and supportive. Like, I could run into him at a networking event and it would not be awkward.
Yeah.
HR on the other side.
Wait, before you go into HR, mm-hmm. We had technical difficulties this week. So I was with Claudia for most of these meetings, not HR. HR, I would have jumped in. And for your manager, though, he was really nice. Mm-hmm. You do employ, or they do employ an IO. Mm-hmm. And he did make the connection and was like, so you're going to go out and do what this person does for us? And you were like, yeah, and much more. But yeah, got some of it.
Yeah. And again, kind of wish he didn't realize that in our last one-on-one, mm-hmm. considering that was part of my interviewing process. But better late than never. Like, I do seriously think if I were to run into him at a conference, networking events, I would have a grand old time having a beer with the man.
Yeah.
And keeping in a social, you know, I wouldn't walk into a room and be like, oh crap, he's here.
Oh no, let's turn around. Let's.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hope he didn't see me. Can we leave yet?
Yeah.
That's not the energy that's going to come at all. On the other hand...
Is it me? Am I the drama? I don't think I'm the drama. Maybe I am. Am I the villain? I don't think I'm the villain.
The HR person. If I were to list verbatim what was told to me, which I'm not going... Because, dear listeners... Let me get my best Bridgerton voice in. Dear listeners...
Lady Whistledown here.
If your employer... tells you, oh, we didn't know you had another job on the side, which you did disclose to them from the get-go, from the freaking, like, first phone screening. If we had known, we would have probably treated you differently.
Treated you differently.
And that part is verbatim. And, you know, we would have probably... questioned your loyalty. Because, when did I enlist?
Yeah, because we want zombies here that know nothing else, but...
Oh, we want people to be committed. Even if it was like, even if I was in a non-entry level, bottom cog in the machine mm-hmm. role.
Have you heard of the Great Resignation?
For a role that pays significantly below market value in its industry, mm-hmm. that has non-traditional hours, mm-hmm. to then make someone feel bad because, oh, we allowed you to work with us and we invested in your training. It's like, who benefited from that?
Yeah. Y'all. The answer is y'all.
Sure, I may have a better understanding of the DuPont chain of functions now. Mm-hmm. And objectively, I did put to use my one accounting class that I never thought I was going to use in my life.
Accounting.
The worst 5 weeks of my life. But no, just kidding. Once you are on your way out, because you're prioritizing yourself, whether that is a role that better fits your needs, a pay increase, diagonal career move, getting the heck out of a negative situation, taking a sabbatical, whatever your reason is. If you're prioritizing yourself, do realize that the reason a lot of employers had to invest in you just flew out the window with your resignation. And as unfortunate as that is, some people will take that as a reason to not invest in you anymore, to completely clock out and not talk to you until you take your metaphorical cardboard box down the elevator, or they might try to retaliate. The thing that I found particularly, again, annoying and a very big privilege of my position was being told that I was being disrespectful because I resigned.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because they didn't know that I had this other form of employment, which we have written evidence that was shared.
And also they said something along the lines of like, we didn't know. We didn't know you were thinking about quitting. We didn't know. It was like, yeah.
That's a red flag.
I was a good employee. I wasn't slacking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your MO. Your MO is like, I'll work.
I'll work for you until I don't.
Exactly. It's like, why would they have that expectation of like, oh, they're slacking, they're not good, and like,
we didn't have warning signs. Because mm-hmm. I think the other expectation is, and here is me playing devil's advocate and trying to understand the HR perspective of this, of like, well, if you're so dissatisfied and you're seeking employment elsewhere, communicate that with us. What needs can we meet that we're not currently meeting? Again, in the era of the Great Resignation, it's a whole lot easier to brush up your resume than to have that conversation with the HR you already have. But also keep in mind, you're not obligated to try to make that box fit you. In my case, there was just no comparison. Different industries, different fields. One is what I actually want to do when I grow up. The other one was a good way to pay the bills for a while. A lot of us have to take necessity jobs, and there will never be any shame in doing that. That said, don't get stuck in the necessity job, and don't get the necessity job get under your skin.
Great points to end that with. And I just want to go on the record and say I'm very, very proud of you.
I was also very entertaining for people around me, as I am now rationalizing and explaining everything and like, please don't do that, learn from my experience. But like, it was still nerve-wracking to send that first email, and words were chosen very carefully for the past 2 weeks in all my official communications.
Talking about words that were chosen carefully, how did you say goodbye to your team?
This is probably one of my proudest moments, but the way I wanted to say goodbye to my team was by quoting this Instagrammer, corporate influencer, which is still a job title I find very interesting. I guess we're kind of adjacent to it. But Laura at LoHaley has this wonderful series of videos, TikToks, reels, whatchamacallits, about how to speak corporate and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And our favorite closure is moist regards. So I sent an email to my team. I had already talked to them in our daily meetings, just saying, hey, this is my contact information. If you want to stay in touch, I'd love that. Up to you, though. No pressure. Moist regards.
And my contributions to that, aside from the moist regards, obviously, was to take off no pressure.
Please, like, no pressures, just thinking.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. All of the wonderful little formulas that insecurity will force you to put in a sentence.
Because in my logic of like, you were saying goodbye. You're going the extra mile of like, hey, human, trying to build outside connections. You're another human that I interacted with for a year. You want to stay in contact with me? Here's one way.
Yeah.
You don't want my phone number because we're millennials and that's weird. But hey, like, watch my stories on Instagram. That's fine.
It was pretty much like specifically to two or three of my coworkers' stories. Like, I'm not going to be in Zoom meetings with you anymore. Can I still see pictures of your cat? Can I still see your really cute kid doing really cute kid things since he's not going to hijack my agenda anymore? And I don't know, how do you feel about staying in contact with people after the job is done?
I believe that human connections and connections in general are part of our cycles for a reason.
Okay. That's the most politically correct answer you've given me so far. Now give me the real one.
Social media just helps us stay present, I guess. Like, you don't have to necessarily interact with it or with them, but hey, they're there.
Yeah,
you can reach out, you can choose not to. They serve a purpose. I'm not gonna say like once you're done and never talk to these people again.
Been there, done that.
But we can all benefit from having some sense of connections with people, and like, if that's an easy way to stay connected, and if you ever need something, if something does come up, or you legitimately just thought their cat was really cute and you want to continue seeing them, why not? But before moving on, you also have the option not to.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is this was the first team where, even though I knew it wasn't my dream career, I really felt like this is a good team. Like, we are, whichever form of dysfunction this has, it works. These people are working well with each other. So that's been interesting. And it's like, as you said, some people are in your life for just a season, and that's cool. It's been great knowing that people like you exist. Wish you a wonderful life. Hope everything goes great. Hope the light is always green when you're driving. Moving on. I've also had to block previous employers, like block their numbers, block them on LinkedIn, because when I've left some contract jobs, I would get texts for the following 6 weeks. Did you have this document? Do you happen to have it in your personal email? Can you give us a quick call and walk us through that process? Like, no. Mm-hmm. My contract ended. I wrapped everything up. Mm-hmm. Get the heck out of my life. Yeah. If you're not, or bring me back in and pay me. So, yes.
Don't do free labor, people. No to free labor.
The moment you metaphorically walk out the door with your metaphorical little cardboard box, you don't owe anything to anyone anymore. And it can be very freeing. Especially if you have an employer that is not good at boundaries.
Absolutely. So, with that, Claudia, are you new free elf? Our new consulting elf?
So, again, if you want to, feel free to share your horror, HR, offboarding, separation stories with us. We can share them in the next month's edition of Am I the Office Asshole. In this case, I may be a little biased, but I feel safe to say that I was not the asshole. HR was. And anyone that makes you feel smaller about yourself is generally a good indicator that they're not a nice person. But let me know if you disagree. Let me know if was I the asshole. And
no.
If you think so, please argument it.
I want proof, I want charts, I want data, I want all the things if you try to
make that argument. Citations in APA format according to the 7th edition of the manual, please.
Thank you.
Let us know in our DMs on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Bias Check-In Podcast. send us an email to biaschecin@gmail.com. If you saw there, leave us a voicemail on anchor.fm and we will play it in the episode, so consider yourself warned.
Support this podcast.
If you want to support us, please do. This is now officially 50% of my ventures instead of a third, so we could do with that.
anchor.com/biaschecin.
And generally speaking, let us know how your experiences with HR are. Let us know if you have the opposite experience than I did. Please highlight incredible supportive workplaces too. This is just not the purpose of this episode. And with that,
it is officially April and it's officially PSYOP month. So we'll see you at PSYOP.
Happy PSYOP season. Moist regards.
Moist regards indeed.